Welcome back to another episode of Calcio Unplugged. We're back from Serie A action and Coppa Italia action. That's where I'm going to start. Inter obviously drop on the weekend, and then Milan Derby again. I guess you could say better than the previous one, but not exactly still something left to be desired. What are your thoughts on another uninspiring performance?
That's how I'm feeling about this whole situation. But I mean, wasteful. I mean, both of these teams, in essence, played terribly in that match. I would have to give the slight edge to AC Milan because they did play a little bit more aggressively, but just by a smidge. You have Dzeko, who has basically had the ball at his feet, and then he does all these short passes that get intercepted by AC Milan, and obviously in certain other, depending on whatever your opponent is, it's basically becoming more consistent on that one. You have Lautaro. Yes, he's not a main goal scorer, but he has had apparently 654 minutes without a goal. And it's sounding like a ringing of a bell with a certain Ciro Immobile, but it's just continuing. I'm sounding like a broken record. It's just, I can't be constantly repeating the same things over and over again when we all know what is going on.
Since you love stats so much, that's 57 shots without a goal.
Yeah, so I'm just going to leave it at Inter. You better figure out what the fuck is going on and shape up soon, because it's getting bad. I really have no more words for this, because it's just getting ridiculous at this point.
Obviously, this is not ideal. You see the sort of league title ambitions. I wouldn't say slip, but they're under threat at the moment. AC Milan, obviously, they played all right. They didn't play amazing. They didn't play bad, but they did enough. Getting into a second leg, and it's winner take all, which is, for the neutral viewer, should be very exciting to see that potentially go the distance, which I expect it will during the second leg. I don't quite know what's going on, because you look at their squad top to bottom, they have enough attacking power there to score, but they're not. And then you rewind. You look at the Napoli game, that took them into the last second to score against them. Then beaten by Sassuolo, by Inter fans. And then can't beat 19th place Genoa away from home. It's tough. But it seems like the ball is just not going in the back of the net. And maybe Inter have, some responsibility here as far as sometimes it's just dumb luck, but as far as Inter go at the moment, I don't know, because it's not getting better. You could argue it's getting worse, and Inter's talent is the only thing keeping them from slipping even further. And luckily this game wasn't in the league, so it can't hurt the ambition for another league title. Inzaghi, who is a good manager, is losing the plot. They look lethargic. They don't look motivated. And when someone does, they're not getting picked up by everyone else. And, we given you some of our problems as far as finishing from a goal. It's not even that, it's just wasteful. It's just the quality of the looks are not good. And so on. So what do you think needs to happen? Like, how do you get out of this? Because if you play like this another 3 weeks, it's really dangerous, considering some of the, it's quite close at the top.
I mean, I've stated a bunch of different things that could be done over the last few weeks when it comes to all these certain scenarios and everything. But right now, the only thing that I can think of is find some freaking motivation, man. This is like you want a second Scudetto, but you ain't gonna get it if you perform like shit. And literally, that's what we've been seeing the past few weeks. And literally, I've already determined that if they don't beat Salernitana tomorrow, which I will be watching, I'm probably going to actually break something for a change because I'm getting sick of this bullshit. And so are other Inter fans. So right now, they have to find some sort of motivation and then start running with that. Because unless you have motivation, you ain't going to go nowhere.
It's been rough on both sides. They can't seem to get it right. There seems to be something missing. On the women's side, they're dropping like a stone too. Lost to Rome over the weekend, so it's just like I was watching that game, and I'm like, well, obviously, Roma ladies are in a title chase this season, which is amazing. With a big game against Juventus on the weekend, which could see them go top of the league. But at the same time, Inter were a force in both of the leagues earlier in the season, and now both of them kind of collapsing at the same time. But like, I think it's just a rough period, a rough stretch. And who do you play next?
Tomorrow we face literally the bottom of the barrel, Salernitana. And
Oh
if we
God.
don't,
If you don't win that by like multiple goals, I think it's even if you like win 1-0, that's even that's bad.
yeah, if we don't win tomorrow, I'm gonna go crawl underneath a rock for 2 weeks. No, I'm just kidding. I have to record because recording is life, literally.
Yeah, but the funny
But
thing about that is like, the general result is bad. But they've been getting good results since Materazzi came in, and that was away from home in a tough place to play. So I'm like, you can't really give them a pass, but you can understand it to a certain extent. If you can't beat Salernitana, I think, I mean, it's just it's gonna keep getting worse. And again, and remember, they then next week, ne next week also they play Liverpool at Anfield.
oh God, get help.
Trying to keep their European season alive. Maybe they'll find some motivation for that one, but I think it's bad too because Liverpool closed the gap with City recently after they lost to Conte, and then they just won the League Cup against Chelsea. And then they just won the other night in the one of the cups. I forgot. I think the
The
FA.
Carabao.
No, I think this. No, that one's done. That's what the Chelsea just. Or sorry, that's what Liverpool just won on Sunday. I think they had a game in the FA Cup. I don't know. They played Norwich, and they won the game. The only reason I know that is Jack was at the game, and I saw it on his Instagram. I didn't even know that they had the midweek games or whatever, but I think that was fairly recently. So they're coming on, just won another trophy. They're going into this with much momentum, while Liverpool, sorry, while Inter are kind of tipping the other direction, and keeping it that whatever. So that's going to be a challenge. So these next couple of weeks will be so important. Even if you lose to Liverpool, whatever, you still have to start picking up points against these other teams because they can't continue to not score. Rough spot at the moment obviously for Inter. On the other side of things, Juventus has a one goal lead in the other semi-final against Fiorentina. This game was a lot closer than I thought it would be. What were your thoughts on Juventus taking a one goal lead into the second leg?
I mean, good for them. I mean, at least they're doing something. But I mean, it was definitely a close match. Fiorentina, we've seen them over the past few seasons where things were not looking that great for them. They would finish maybe mid-table, close to the bottom half of the table, but just weren't really like pushing for anything. But now this is the Fiorentina that has really shaken any voices out of their head, and they're finally sitting there and putting their minds to each match that comes their way and just taking it one match at a time. And they're actually having a really great season this year. And obviously, Juventus started off terrible. We all saw that story, but now they know what to do. They climbed themselves back into the Champions League picture. And so these are two teams who are fighting to like at least get something from this season. And obviously, I think it was Vlahovic who scored.
The Fiorentina game was Cordardo, I think.
Yeah, Cordardo has been a routine player with Juventus over the past few years. And he may not like be one of the more prolific Juventus players, but he does have his moments where he shines, and it showed through in this match. He's a really great match facilitator, and he was able to get, and then when he isn't facilitating, he also has that defensive capabilities along with attacking mindedness as well. So that's how that goal got set up, is just being in the correct positioning and knew where to fire the ball. And it helped give Juventus the edge going into the second leg. But good job to Fiorentina. Hopefully you get Juventus kicked out, because I would love to see that. I mean, just the story that tells from how they were over the past few seasons would be astronomical.
Yeah. Do you think, I think this game was in Florence. Do you think that Fiorentina can really go to you in Juventus Stadium and beat them? Do you think, I mean, they're not through yet, but do you feel like they'll finish the job in the second leg?
I mean, realistically, Juventus should have no issues finishing off the job because they're at home. But it would be, like I said, I'm going for Fiorentina just because I love an underdog story in this situation. But, I mean, I think, to be honest with you, Juventus will get you the job done. But, like I said, don't count out Fiorentina just yet, because they're getting really good, and it's something I'm excited to see.
Also, that will be an easier matchup for you if you get to the finals. Let's see what you're doing. but just in case you get there. But no, Fiorentina's done well this season. They lost Vladovic their first game or two. They looked a little shaky, but they've kind of got back on track over the last a few games. I thought they did well enough to be able to handle themselves. You know, Juventus has 97 injuries. So it was there for them to do something, and they couldn't do it in the end, but it was a goal at the very end of the match. So, I mean, basically, Fiorentina just needs to, essentially start quickly, in leg two. And then maybe there's a sense of hope, as far as, so many different things, you know, and it would be great to see Fiorentina make the final, and potentially win it. I think it'd be amazing, especially for a smaller team to be in this, you know, scenario. Getting to play the winner of AC and Inter would be huge. I do think there would be an underdog in the final too, and it would be a tough one to take. But all things considered, I think Fiorentina should feel good about themselves. But, you know, I think it is going to be really difficult to beat Juventus in Juventus. But crazier things have happened this season to prove, because the league has been shaken up so many times this season. And the other week when nobody wanted to win, you know, basically just surrendering each of the top sides, just deciding they don't want to win the league after all. And just, you know, kind of doing the thing.
Yeah, but, here, let's give Salernitana the schedule.
I said the other week, I said, just give it to Spezia. yeah, but because not this week, but the week before, you lost. AC Milan dropped to the worst, you know, to the bottom of the league. Roma dropped to Verona, but they came from behind. Napoli dropped to Cagliari, and Lazio dropped to somebody, and like everybody there, I think of the big six, not one team won, which is crazy. Speaking of Spezia, the Rome game was pretty crazy, considering you know how the game went and how it ended and the controversy surrounding it ended and some of the things that had happened throughout that game. Tammy Abraham with a 99th minute penalty, the latest goal that Roma have ever scored in history. Roma get that.
It's a memory, ladies and gentlemen.
No, actually, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I just got a text. They score this incredibly late goal with a penalty at the last second, with the Spezia fans trying to make noise on the other end after Ivan, I forgot it. I don't know his last name off the top of my head. Ivan, the terrible, saved the Titanic, and then he saved the Titanic again, and then he saved the Titanic again, and then, he saved the Titanic again. So he saved the Titanic more times than any goalkeepers ever saved the Titanic. really saving every possible thing. Spezia were down to 10 men. There's the big controversy with the booking. And the card and the penalty at the end where Saniolo gets kicked in the head. And then the goalkeeper is walking towards the screen to check. And he's surrounded by Spezia players who will not go away. They will not leave his side. I thought that was inappropriate. You wait to see the call and then you yell at the referee and you know, say, you're the worst or whatever. But you have to actually let him make a decision before you start crying like little babies. I actually, to be honest, I would have just taken my card out and given a card to everyone that was in my area. Just give a card to like seven people at once.
You get a card, but maybe a red. I'm not sure yet. It's like freaking Oprah.
You should watch the football match between the Netherlands and Portugal in the 2006 World Cup. It was called the Battle of Nuremberg, which is the most booked game in football history. Two yellow cards and I think 15 bookings or something. It was crazy. Anyway, it was so historic. It has its own Wikipedia page about that game by itself. The World Cup final in 2010 was pretty bad too, but that game was crazy. They had this documentary about that tournament, and there was like a picture of the people who got sent off, and the narrator said, "Sit on the naughty step." I didn't mean to go on a tangent. Anyway, so they surrounded him with all that stuff, and eventually he points to the spot, Abraham steps up, converts, 19th goal of the season. While Lukaku still doesn't have 10. I'd take him every day of the week and twice on Sunday, but I'm just saying, one in, one out. He's got more goals than Lukaku. He's got more goals than Dzeko that departed. He's just having a really terrific season. And that was probably Roma's best performance in months, without Mourinho, which I don't know. It was probably his instructions. He was watching the game on the I forgot where. There's a picture of him and his other coach, the other coach that got suspended too, watching on television while the game was going on the computer rather, while the game was going on. You know, so on and so forth or whatever. Anyway, so great performance, but this goalkeeper was just—he was not messing around. And it was so important that they got these points because Atalanta won, Lazio lost. But so going into the next two games, they beat both. They can get maybe fifth or sixth. Actually, I didn't know this until after the game. But with the loss that Lazio had this weekend, Roma are now in front of them, two games before the derby. So if they're able to beat Atalanta and Lazio, the Europa League chase will go into their favor. They're currently sitting in a Europa League spot. But, you know, again, important things from this game is their best football, the best performance they've had in months. If it was for a different goalkeeper, they would have scored four or five. I think they had 31 shots. I think that about half of those were on target. There were two hit off the line. There was a crossbar, and there was incredible goalkeeping defending. But in the end, dramatically, Tammy Abraham steps up with the last possible second and scores that penalty. Roma get the points, and they get the feeling of victory again, and now two big games in a row. Exactly the confidence and momentum you would need going into those games and so on. Anyway, what was your thoughts from your perspective on the crazy game on Sunday?
Yes, and the award for best keeper in a football performance goes to this dude named Ivan. I mean, good God. I mean, he's saving everything left and right. I mean, yo, did you know Inter is hiring? But yeah, I mean, that performance by a keeper was absolutely crazy. And then, of course, you had some controversy with Zaniolo getting kicked in the head. Then you had the whole VAR getting up in the referee's bubble. I mean, that was, you're right, totally uncalled for. You don't need to, I mean, you just wait until he makes a decision, and then you can go tell the referee to go himself.
Yeah, they were following to the screen as he's walking towards it. He's walking towards the VAR screen. He's got about seven or eight players around him. So much so, Rui Patricio came from the Roma goal to start pushing these fools away. And then, you know, I get it. It's hostile ground. You're unhappy with the choice. There's no actual debate about whether he got kicked in the head or not. The question was whether he had made contact with the ball before he was kicked. Anyway, if you look at the replay, it's a tough call to make, but it is a penalty. Regardless, you don't follow the referee to the box, to the screen when he's trying to make a decision. You want a decision made, shut the hell up, let him make a decision, and then you can threaten him.
Clay. And then, of course, you have Tammy Abraham with 19 goals this season so far. I mean, he has been amazing for you guys, not going to lie. I mean, some of his goals has pretty much saved you in certain matches. And I mean, would you go as far as to say, I know this is still a couple months away for us where we do our teams of the season and awards, but do you put him on the radar for signing of the season?
That's a tough one. As far as team of the season, it depends what formation. But the other names you could probably throw in the hat is Vladovic, Immobile. But let's be really frank here. These are the only three options for team of the season for a striker. There's no other possibilities. Again, love to Scamacca, love to Raspadori, love to some of these other guys, love to Osimhen. But no, these are the three. Again, I don't know. It depends on the formation you play, but those three will be in it at least, if not there on the bench. Signing of the season. Let's see. So Roma paid 36. they got they've gotten 19 goals out of him. I think that's a pretty good return. I'm trying to think of the other big signings made. I would have said Hakan Çalhanoğlu, who would have been in there in that conversation earlier, but his form has just gone somewhere. I'm not sure where, but he hasn't been able to find his step. Juventus have brought in Locatelli. He's been good. I wouldn't say he's been any better than he was at Sassuolo, but he's still been very solid. Juan Musso for Atalanta in goal has been pretty decent. I'm Rui Patricio for Roma has been decent. So there's a few out there that you could probably say. I would say he is definitely at least, and maybe not the obvious choice, but he is with like the probably a top two choice for signing of the season, with probably a 60% chance of getting it, at least most people's minds. There's still questions of a lot of different things, but I think he's done exactly what he was expected to do. And yeah, I think it's hard to find a better striker in Italy at the moment. And it's not just because of his goals, it's the rapid pace of the goals. 'Cause he scored one or two goals for the first 10 games of the season, and then scored 14 in his next 14. And I think now it's 14 out of his next 16. And remember, he's also top scorer in the Conference League as well, with Roma having a good chance to win it. So I think Tammy Abraham even should get buzzed for player of the season, not just for Roma, but for the league. Again, that one's a little more up in the air, a little more questionable, but I think he's put himself in the conversation. He's got 19, and we still have we're at the back end of the season, but we still have enough games left where he could get to 20, 20, 22, 23 goals a season by the end, especially in the Conference League. If Roma go far, that's two legs through this round of a six or 32, 16, 8, 4, and 2, and obviously if they make the final. So I think we could be looking at a 25 goal season by the end. So I think given the fact you paid 42 for him to replace Dzeko, to replace Muriel, he already has more goals than both of them last season. And if he went for 25 goals, Dzeko's only done that in his historical run with Roma, only hit 25 goals this season twice. So I think 36 million for that. I think that's very much part of all of it, but yeah, definitely one of the top signings for the season for sure. Team of the season walks in and player of the season conversation. The problem with player of the season is if Roma finished seventh, I don't think you can give it to them because they're too far down the table. But that's the same thing I would say for Pellegrini, and his health. So it's a complicated one. But if there's no obvious answers, I even think there's an argument to say that he could be player of the season by the end if he goes on and finishes the season strong the way he's been playing lately.
Fair enough.
Anyway, any other thoughts on this on the T Titanic game?
I actually have nothing.
All right, we're gonna circle back to Juventus. Tough. Vlahovic scores twice against Empoli. Empoli put up a real good fight. Wasn't their best performance. Obviously, so on and so forth. But they do get the result in the end. They do close the gap a bit. Yeah, anyway, the Juventus win again. Thoughts on Vladovic and Juventus getting another win against a very good team.
Yeah, I actually watched this match and it was, yeah, you're right. It wasn't one of Empoli's best performances, but in general, this match was an exciting one to watch start to finish. Yeah, you had Juventus, them going back and forth throughout the match. defensive wise, the a lot of their goals came from those defensive errors. But in general, this was one of the most exciting matches I actually watched all weekend. So, I mean, Juventus have finally closed the gap a little bit more from where they started at the beginning of the season, like stated earlier in the episode. Empoli continues to fight to stay in this league, and obviously they're coming back next season. That's not a question. Like I said, there's t certain teams that get promoted and they su tend to surprise you. And this was one of the surprises I was hoping for because I actually kind of fell in love with Empoli a little bit when they were in Serie A. I think it was guess, 2 seasons ago, I believe it was.
Ronaldo's first season, they got relegated.
Yeah, so I kind of took a liking to them then, so it was nice to finally see them come back and perform at such a great level. But yeah, I mean, this was definitely an exciting match. Definitely not one of Empoli's best performances, but they still should be proud of themselves for finding the back of the net twice against a Juventus side that has the fire lit under their ass and is doing whatever it takes to get and stay in the Champions League picture.
I actually think Empoli beat them in the first meeting. So strong side from Empoli. Obviously, Juventus weren't at their best. Empoli were at their best, and that's when those two things come at a head and defensive issues are involved in it, you're going to get a scoreline like we got. With Vladovic's goals, obviously doing enough to see it through. Moise Keane back on the score sheet again. He's been very consistent this season, but it's good to see him find the back of the net and do what's necessary. Fortunately, every time I think of Empoli, I think of that goal Ronaldo scored against them in his debut season, where he just ripped an absolute monster strike from outside the box. But you know, sometimes stuff like that just sticks with you. All right, there's a new sheriff in town. It does seem like a favorite is emerging or has emerged, as far as a league title. Obviously, it's 55, 57, 57. So the point differences between the three are you know, it's not a lot. But I think we saw something this week in Naples, not sorry, in Rome from Naples. And it does seem like Napoli are the favorites now. Again, only for the moment because it's very close. Spalletti is getting the best out of the team that he has. Again, he's got quality players at every position, but were also question marks at every position. That is why me and others had them as a fourth place team. And now they're looking like they're leading the race and the favorites. They are the favorites at this moment. I think they're not firmly in control, but they are in control. Again, tough. It was going to be a big test because everybody else seems to be floundering away. Napoli had a big game against Lazio, arguably the best striker in the league on the other side. And they needed to show that they're for real. That because if Napoli somehow blew that game or didn't win that game, I think it would open up the picture more. We didn't know that they were for sure the favorites. We just suggested that they might be. But after the performance against Lazio, I think they certainly are. Just based on the fact that Insigne scores, silencing some critics, his first goal of the season, I think that's not a non-penalty. They take a lead, they score another one, but it's waved off for offsides only because Insigne was signaling with his arm. And I think those offside decisions that are defined by those specific things are tough to handle and deal with. And I think this is a little crazy. But then you look at the League Cup final between Liverpool and Chelsea when there was three goals taken away for offside. So but so that's going to happen sometimes. But then you know, at the end of the game, Lazio find a way with Pedro scoring off the bench. And it just looked like, yep, Napoli were exactly what I thought they were. You know, just one of the situations where they were being exposed maybe a bit. But then they found just enough to get through. Fabian scores that great goal at the end. It's not anything that Lazio did wrong. I just think Napoli in the biggest moment came through and showed the rest of the league that you guys can drop all the points you want. We can play poorly and win, which they have been doing all season. And we also can win when it's necessary, when it's needed. And to win at the end in Rome against Lazio while Inter dropped, AC Milan dropped, and I think that's it. Well, those are the only two teams I need to drop points because of how the table looks right now. They're not really worried about what Atalanta or Roma or Lazio is doing. But everything came together. They win late, and I don't know. Again, it's too early to say who's going to win the title, but I think Napoli have put themselves in the driver's seat for the moment.
Yeah, I definitely 100% agree. You had Inter dropping points and AC Milan dropping points too. I mean, Napoli, like I said in the previous episode, you had asked me one particular question. Which team out of AC Milan or Napoli scares me the most? And I still 100% agree with the answer that I gave. It's Napoli, because they're a team who can perform poorly either at times within a match, or they could have terrible matches altogether, but they still know what it takes to get those points. And that is one thing, like I said, was the thing I'm scared of, that they will do what is needed every single time, despite how terrible they perform, and are able to get those results. And it clearly showed in this match against Lazio. There were moments where they're like, oh yeah, you look like the team that we thought you were, like you had stated. But then they somehow dig deep within themselves and are able to keep going, shake off that little poor like spot in the match, and just find the back of the net again. Or if it's not a win, at least they know how to maintain a draw. So they're getting results. And that is the one thing that puts them in the driver's seat, is they know what it takes to get the job done over and over and over again.
Yeah. Three wins in the last five. They have the best defense in the league. 49 goals, 19 against. Goal difference of 30. They don't need it. The thing with them is, they don't necessarily need to be the highest scoring teams. Inter's on 55. AC Milan's on 53. Atlanta's on 50. Lazio's on 54. So, it's sort of this victim of, they don't need to be scoring six goals a game, whatever you want to say. They don't need to be scoring high as long as they protect themselves in the back. And they've been doing that. And I don't know. Spalletti, it was kind of an eye roll appointment by Napoli fans. Inter fans were laughing at it. We'll see what happens at the end of the season, but we could have a scenario where at the end of the season he's saying, "Who's laughing now?" Remember, did well in the Ukraine when he was with Dinamo Kiev. He won Roma two trophies, got Roma to two quarterfinals, brought Inter back into the Champions League, kept them in the Champions League the next year, and again. Conte has more responsibility for the title, but there were some of Spalletti's players within the team, prior to, all of that. Napoli looked good. I'm not looking forward to having to play them again. I wish you could just simulate the game, just because they're just a tough team to play right now. They're playing better. They're not looking like. They're not looking bad when they're getting victories lately. So, again, they're going to drop points here and there, but now they have the momentum. And I know you guys still have a game in hand, but who's to say you're going to win that game? You could lose to Bologna. They have, to me, the young player of the year and Matthias Svanberg, and they have Musa Baro. They have a lot of good pieces there. So if they end up beating Inter or getting a point against Inter, Napoli will have the kind of still have it. So again, you win the game in hand, you're still in front, but I think I don't know. I just think that the Napoli they are in the driver's seat. And I think I do think they are going to they're going to stay there, and I'm not going to come out and say, they're going to win the title, but I'm not saying they're not going to. I think this is as wide open as it has been in quite a while. But if AC Milan and Inter Milan continue to play the way they have, it's gonna put themselves in a position where they could win it. And then at the end of the season, maybe Spalletti's dancing on Inter's grave at the end.
Yeah, definitely. And also in regards to the Ukraine, as you just mentioned them, we stand with you. Stay strong and Godspeed.
Before you finish, unfortunately, I have more bad news.
Oh no.
I'm going to say something. Most people won't know who I'm talking about, but I know who I'm talking about. So in the 2019 NCAA, if you've seen me on social media, you probably know what I'm going to allude to here. In the 2019 NCAA championship in women's soccer between Stanford and North Carolina, a star, rose from the occasion. It was a 0-0 draw. The Stanford goalkeeper was making every save imaginable. They go into a penalty shootout. She makes two saves. They win the national championship. And after the decisive save, she celebrates like crazy and does the little like shut up thing. This woman was on track to be a player, an important player in Europe if she would have chose to go that route. She was that good, and she was good enough. And the she's national champion, Stanford legend. Unfortunately, I've been I was on Instagram yesterday, and I there's a footballer on the place for Pepperdine that I follow on IG. And I was just scrolling through stories on Instagram, and I saw her picture and like a 2020 to 2022. And I was confused because I saw her play this year. But so anyway, I did some digging. It did turn out that she did pass 2 days ago, at 22 years old. She was found dead in her in camp up in campus at Stanford. There's no information that's been released that gives any information about what happened, and anything like that. All I've read is there's no foul play involved in this particular tragedy, which you can speculate what you think and what you think happened. I have an idea of what might have happened, especially with mental health and how the sense of pressure of school and being a someone that has a lot of pressure on them. Regardless, still a woman of 20 years, 2 years of age, who I thought could thrive in Europe and be a top goalkeeper. Anyway, so she passed this week, and I think it's tragedy. I didn't know her personally. I never said never messaged her, never, because sometimes I do that when after I see a good player. Never really knew her that well, but I knew her game and I watched her play. And I think even if you didn't know this person, I think it's really sad because it's a person in the football community that we've lost. Tragedy. And as I always say, rest easy. And yeah. I don't know. I was gonna say other than that, but she's her and her family are my thoughts.
And they are now in my thoughts and prayers too during this time, because with everything going on in the world, it's just crazy that we're losing a lot of people, whether it's to mental illness, this whole COVID situation. It's just sad seeing a lot of everybody going through a lot of pain and anguish during this time. And I'm just going to do a little bit of a plug here because of this. If you are struggling with mental health of any kind, whether anxiety, stress, depression, and you need somebody to talk to, please feel free to message me. Don't struggle alone. If you aren't friends with me, I'm Danielle Lurson on Facebook, at Hardcore InterQueen on Instagram, and at Inter's Pantheon on Twitter. You can find me on any of those. Feel free to message me. And even if I have no advice for you, I'll be just there to listen, because you shouldn't have to suffer alone. So please reach out if you are going through something.
And if you don't know Danielle, you don't feel comfortable with that, just reach out to somebody that you know in a closer setting. I mean, we're losing a lot of people. A lot of people have passed due to these sort of situations. I lost a friend at a similar age. I'm not going to go into detail. If you know, you know. There's been other public figures who have gone through this, such as Juice WRLD, who's a hip hop artist who passed at 21. If you listen to the song "Wishing Well," it's a very emotional. It's a great song. It's beautifully put together, but it's a song of sort of too late, you know, because if the song had been released before he had passed away, I think there might have been something to consolidate, you know, what's going on and all that. We're just gonna end this on a more positive note. Champions League is back. Big game on I don't know if it's Tuesday, Wednesday. Real Madrid and PSG. So this will just be the last topic, and then we'll just finish out. Do you think Madrid will come back, or do you think Kylian's goal is enough to see PSG go through?
I mean, if PSG manages to park the bus and really keep the attack of Real Madrid at bay, the one goal should be enough. But I would say they should at least strive for one more goal, so that way they have a little bit more of a cushion. But Real Madrid, you can't count them out. You have Benzema, you have Modric. There we go. Took me 5 minutes, but you know.
Vinicius Junior, Casemiro, I mean, the Courtois, the list goes on. You should know this. You played them twice.
Sorry. My brain is kind of like on off mode sometimes. So, yeah, it took me – at least I had it in my head, and it came out. So, at least that's something. But, yeah, you have all these great players on Real Madrid who are capable of coming back from these situations. But to be honest, it can go either way. And I found out another thing PSG could stand for.
What?
Pretty salty girls.
Yeah. And so anyway, you going with PSG or Real Madrid to win?
I'm going to say PSG will do what it takes to hold off Real Madrid.
All right. Fair. There's absolutely no chance they park the bus. They have Mbappe, Neymar, and Messi. I think this is going to be a fireworks show. The first game wasn't exactly fireworks show. But I think it's going to be like a 3-2, 2-1 thing. And the thing is, PSG has everything there for them to go through. You know, Real Madrid has winning intangibles. They have winning mentality. This is their competition. I'm not saying they're going to go and win it, but I do feel that they can come back against PSG. And at the Santiago Bernabeu, I think they will. So I'm going to go Real Madrid to come through, et cetera, et cetera. One last thing to end on a high. Christian Eriksen returned to football last week. You know, we speculated that he would come back in increments of time. He played from the 51st minute onwards. So I think that's great. No issues there. Seems like he's back and doing his thing. It's another player that Inter could use right now. We all made our sort of had the initial reactions when the thing happened. He's back playing again, and you know, will he return to the player he was? I certainly hope so. But the fact that he has come back at all is a victory in itself, and so on. So that's all for tonight's show. Forza Roma, Forza every. I don't know. Go Roma. Go Milan. Go Napoli. Everyone who has their team, go that team. I can't say Forza Inter because it tastes like vinegar coming out of my mouth. One last thing. If you hate Juventus, keep an eye on the female side. Juventus Roma's women could go top of the league. That's a big game. Enjoy your football. Enjoy the Champions League. Enjoy life, and see you later.